It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, June 19th. I'm Patricia Naft. A federal ruling issued Thursday says the Delta Montrose Electric Association is obligated to purchase power from qualifying facilities. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission decision made DMEA buy more locally produced power. Previously, the electric cooperative could only buy 5% of its energy from providers other than Tri-State, a wholesale power supplier in four states. Virginia Harmon is DMEA's manager of member relations.
We feel that this decision is a victory for DMEA. It will allow us to hopefully interconnect more local renewable power, which helps stabilize the rates for our members and promote economic development throughout our communities.
The decision is a blow to Tri-State. The company protested the move by DMEA to try to purchase more local power, saying it would raise prices for the other 43 electric cooperatives it serves. The public has a chance to comment on another oil and gas operation north of Paonia. This project is separate from the Bull Mountain Unit and the Thompson Divide lease swap. KVNF's Jake Ryan reports.
The BLM has opened the comment period on an oil and gas drilling operation outside the town of Somerset, just north of Paonia. The preliminary environmental assessment looks at the impacts the project would have. The proposed development would encompass 32 acres. Five well pads would be built, with 25 wells drilled in total. The preliminary environmental assessment will be open to comment for 30 days, ending July 20th. Shannon Borders with the BLM says that this proposed development has a lot of parties involved.
The surface owner, or manager in this case, would be a combination of the U.S. Forest Service and private, and the Bureau of Land Management is the subsurface minerals manager. So that's why you'll see that there's several parties involved in this analysis.
After the comment period is finished, all of the comments will be considered, and another draft will be created, again, open to protest. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Another study links earthquakes with injection wells. Researchers with the University of Colorado Boulder and the U.S. Geological Survey created a database of more than 180,000 injection wells. The wells span from Colorado to the East Coast. Shemin Gih, a professor at CU Boulder, co-authored the study.
And then we compared the injection well operation parameters with the location and timing of earthquakes over the same region.
The report finds the number of earthquakes associated with injection wells went just from a few per year in the 70s to more than 650 last year. The report also found a closer association to earthquakes from more modern fracking wells that inject fluid back into the ground much faster than traditional methods. Of the states studied, Oklahoma had the most seismic activity linked to wastewater injection wells, but parts of Colorado, West Texas, Central Arkansas, and Southern Illinois also showed concentrations of earthquakes associated with such wells. The report finds the areas in Colorado most affected by earthquakes linked to injection wells were the Raton Basin and Greeley. Nonpartisan legislative staffers are currently putting together this year's Blue Book information guide for voters. Even though it's an off-election year, there is a marijuana tax question slated for the statewide ballot. Benta Berkland has more.
The measure asks voters if the state can keep roughly $58 million already collected in marijuana taxes since pot shops opened. Voters agreed to these taxes, but because it's a new tax and exceeded an earlier estimate, the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights requires voters to approve the money a second time. Democratic Senator Pat Stedman of Denver sponsored the proposal. He says it'll be a quiet campaign.
I think it is pretty common sense and that people are going to get it. You know, if you vote yes, the state will keep all the money that we collected in the first year. We'll spend $40 million on school construction, as people have been expecting. And there'll be other money for law enforcement and youth and prevention and public health programs.
A no vote would trigger a refund under the Tabor Amendment. People who file state income tax returns would get an $8 rebate. The retail marijuana tax rate would go down temporarily, and marijuana cultivators would also receive some of the funds. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Colorado lawmakers wrapped up their annual legislative session last month. KVNF's Laura Pomisano interviewed Republican Representative Eulyn Willett of Grand Junction to get his take on what went down at the Capitol this year.
This is your first year serving in the Colorado legislature. How did it go?
It went really well. Took me a while to learn the ground rules and make some acquaintances and develop relationships. But the second half of the session was quite successful. I think I got through 8 bills, which was a lot for a rookie.
What bills did you author this session that made it into law?
The bills that I was not only a prime sponsor, but kind of the main driver of the bill were economically related. I had a number of House bills, 1157, 1177, that got through the House and then kind of halfway died in the Senate and got morphed into Senate Bill 282, which was Jumpstart Colorado, which was a development of tax-free zones in the most distressed counties in our state. And I was pretty proud of that one. And then I had numerous other bills that co-prime on that made it through. And also I had a bill regarding overpopulation of bears and how to deal with that. And that bill died at one point and then was resurrected into a study, which we really need to see what areas of the state there are too many bears and how to deal with them.
One of the bills that you sponsored this session that made it into law was the Cottage Foods Expansion Bill. Why did you decide to throw your support behind this?
Yeah, the Cottage Foods bill has been in existence for a while. The law has been in existence, and it's been expanded a couple of times. And this was the most recent expansion to increase the types of foods that come under the cottage foods industry and people can produce in their home kitchens without a lot of state regulation. So we added things like flour, tempanadas, tortillas, and pickled goods. And I thought that was important to help the local economy.
Another bill that you sponsored that made it into law was the Advanced Practice Nurse Prescriptive Authority Bill. What exactly does this bill do?
Under the old law, they had to spend many, many hours underneath a doctor after they graduated before they could start their own practice. Far more hours than other states. So we were graduating these great nurses and they were going to other states to start their practice rather than Colorado. So this does a number of things. It keeps them here in Colorado. It allows them to get going in business and helps with rural health care.
This session, the House was controlled by Democrats and the Senate was controlled by Republicans. What was it like working in a divided legislature as a freshman lawmaker?
Well, obviously, as a rookie, I don't have a lot to compare it to. I've never been in any other atmosphere. But what I did learn very quickly is in order to get anything done, I had to realize, A, I was a rookie, B, I was in the minority, and C, I was from the Western Slope. So it didn't take me too long to figure out the best thing for me to do was, to coin a phrase, make friends and influence people and get good relationships on both sides of the aisle and to come up with bills that had bipartisan sponsorship and support to get something done for the West Slope. And I think I was fairly successful at that.
That was Republican Representative Eulyn Willett of Grand Junction speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. Stay tuned for Alan and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.